So if I told you the Spanish Empire was essentially run by a 16th century version of eBay, you'd probably think I was
I
exaggerating.
mean, I definitely would.
Right. But when you actually look at the source material, you see this system where literally everything from government seats to, tax collection rights was just, for sale to the highest bidder.
Yeah, it's wild to think about.
It really is. So today, for this exploration into the source material, we're doing a sort of structural autopsy on the collision of three worlds. We've got America, Iberia, and Africa.
And we are really moving past that whole discovery myth.
Exactly. We're looking at how a few hundred men and a biological silent partner completely rewrote the DNA of a hemisphere.
It's a massive shift in perspective, really.
Yeah.
Because most people just picture 1492 as this like one-on-one meeting between Europe and the
It's
Americas.
Columbus and the indigenous populations, right?
Right, but you absolutely have to include the African dimension to get the full picture here. I mean, long before the slave trade reached its peak, you had these Atlantic Creoles from kingdoms like the Congo.
Oh, right, who are already navigating European languages and trade?
Exactly. They weren't just victims. They were really sophisticated players who understood the European mindset way before the first Spanish ship even hit the Caribbean.
And that Iberian mindset was so specific, wasn't it? I mean, they had just spent 8 centuries in the Reconquest fighting to take back Spain from Muslim rule.
Yeah, exactly. That was like a centuries-long rehearsal.
Right. To them, you didn't get rich by starting a business or farming. You got rich by conquering people and demanding tribute. It was this total booty mentality.
That is the key, really.
Yeah.
When the Spanish arrived, they didn't just find a vacuum. They found the Aztecs and the Inca, right? And these empires already had these massive, incredibly complex systems of tribute and labor, like the Inca Mita system.
So the Spanish didn't invent a new system of exploitation.
No, not at all. They basically just hijacked the existing one and swapped out the guy at the top.
Okay, but wait, I have to stop you there. Because we've all seen the numbers.
Oh, sure.
At Cajamarca, you have Pizarro with what, maybe 200 Spaniards? And they're facing an Inca army of 40,000.
Yeah, it sounds impossible.
Right. I don't care how much of a booty mentality you have, the math just does not work. How does that not end in an immediate Spanish massacre?
Well, you have to look at what was happening behind the scenes. Pizarro didn't walk into a stable empire. He walked into a house on fire, basically.
Ah, right, the Civil War.
Exactly. The Inca were in the middle of this brutal civil war between two brothers, Atahualpa and Huáscar, and the Spanish just kind of threw gasoline on it.
And they had the technological edge, right?
Right. They used steel swords against stone tools. Plus, they had harquebuses.
Those early guns.
Yeah, those heavy guns. And they were actually more about the terrifying noise and smoke than actual accuracy. But they managed to paralyze the state by capturing its divine leader right during all that chaos.
But the real heavy lifting wasn't even done by a person, was it?
No, it was the unseen ally.
Smallpox.
Smallpox. I mean, it is really hard to overstate the impact of this. Imagine you're an Inca citizen, right?
Okay.
You're seeing your entire family die of a disease no one even has a name for.
Yeah.
And this is before a single Spaniard has even reached your village.
Wow, that's horrifying.
It was essentially a biological preemptive strike. It completely decimated the Aztec capital, Tenochtitlan, right while it was under siege.
And it wasn't just human biology, right? This was a total ecological overhaul.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we was often talk about the Columbian Exchange like it was this, I don't know, fair trade.
Right, tomatoes for horses, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But it looked a lot more like a takeover. I mean, European cattle and sheep literally ate the Mexican landscape.
They really did.
Take the Mosquito Valley. The source material shows it went from this fertile, irrigated paradise to a desert filled with thorny mesquite in less than a century, just because of overgrazing.
Yeah, it was a complete replacement of indigenous life with European weeds and livestock.
Right.
But, for some groups, like the Mapuche in Chile or the Apache up north, this invasion of animals actually handed them a weapon.
Oh, the horse.
Exactly. They adopted the horse so quickly that it completely flipped their military capacity. It allowed them to resist the Spanish for centuries.
So you have this incredibly messy conquest, but then you actually have to rule the place.
From 3,000 miles away.
Exactly. The bureaucracy of distance. You've got the king in Spain trying to be the hub of all these colonial wheels, but his orders literally took months to arrive.
Which leads to my favorite phrase from the era.
Obedisco, pero no cumplo. Right. I obey, but I do not execute. It basically sounds like a fancy way of saying no.
It sounds like outright rebellion. But it was actually this incredibly sophisticated legal stalling tactic, a survival tactic for the empire.
How so?
Well, if the king passed a law that was going to cause a local riot, the officials would just put it in a drawer. They'd say, well, wait for the king to be better informed.
And the king just let them do that.
He tolerated it, yeah. Because he vastly preferred a slow, inefficient government to a full-blown revolution.
But then the king gets desperate. I mean, he's totally broke from fighting wars in Europe.
Yes. And that brings us back to your eBay analogy.
Right. The sale of offices. He literally starts auctioning off government positions.
Mm.
Treasury seats, high court judgeships, you name it.
And this is where the causality gets so fascinating. Because who bought those offices? It was the local elites, the native sons, who were actually born in the colonies.
Wait, but why would they buy them?
Basically to protect their own business interests from the king's, you know, his taxes and laws.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So by trying to fund his wars, the king accidentally sold his actual power to the exact people he was trying to control.
That is just incredible. So the whole foundation of the colonial world was basically built on this weird mix of religious mission and, well, cold hard cash.
Very much so.
I mean, before every battle, the Spanish read the requirement, right? This document telling the indigenous people they were there to save their souls for the Pope.
Right. That was the official justification.
But here is something for everyone to mull over as we wrap up this exploration into the source material.
Go for it.
If the mission was truly about saving souls, why was the crown so completely willing to sell the very government offices meant to protect those people to the highest bidder?